Welcome back to another enlightening episode of The Insurance Dudes. I'm your host, Jason Feldman, and as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Craig Pretzinger.
Thanks, Mr. Jason. And today we're going to dive into a topic that's been causing quite the stir over in the insurance world, the so-called unexpected costs of turnover.
Insurance dudes are on a mission to escape being handcuffed by our agencies.
How? By uncovering the secrets to creating a predictable, consistent, and profitable agency sales machine.
I am Craig Pretzinger.
I am Jason Feldman.
We are agents.
We are insurance dudes.
Oh, yeah. You might have seen an article floating around by Amy C. Wanninger, who seems to have more acronyms after her name than a bowl of alphabet soup.
Oh my gosh, Mr. Jason, you're just freaking running it. So yeah, she is very well credentialed. I think there's probably 15 different little CLUFs and all that stuff after her name, which is great.
Sure.
A lot of studying. But here's the thing, folks. A lot of what she's saying in the article doesn't really align with the kinds of things that we've been seeing in the real world. And it would make sense because all those things come from the academic world, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This is the insurance world. So we've been in the trenches building some of the most successful agencies out there, and we know exactly what works when it comes to hiring top talent and growing your business.
For sure. Yeah. So today what we want to do is take a closer look at five different points that she brings up in her article, and we're going to give you our hashtag no filter, no nonsense take on each one of them.
Hashtag color me excited.
Oh, woo. You're so TikTok-y.
Hold on, Mr. Craig. But before we dive in, let me ask you this. Craig, what's the number one mistake you see with agency owners making when it comes to hiring?
Well, that's the easy one. They're going to wait until they have a vacancy. Then they're going to look for the candidates. And that, my friends, is the recipe for disaster. Through that.
Absolutely. So the key to successful hiring is to always be on the lookout for top talent, right?
Yeah.
Even when you don't have an immediate opening. Ooh, that's a tough one, right?
Yeah.
But we'll come back to that in a bit. Let's start off with Amy's first point.
So empty seats don't deliver. This is what she says, right? If we have empty seats, they don't deliver. Okay, so, right. She's stating the obvious here. Of course, having an empty seat doesn't deliver. But she's also making a faulty assumption that the best way to hire is to do it when it's needed.
Yeah, exactly. In the agency space, hiring needs to be an ever-present, consistent process. You can't just wait until someone leaves to start looking for a replacement.
Right. Here's the reality, folks. If you want to make one great hire, you're typically going to need at least 60 candidates in your pipeline. 20 of those might show up to a call or a group thing or some kind of interview. 3 of those 20 are going to actually be of the caliber that you're going to want in your one-on-one interviews. And if you're lucky from that, 1 is going to be a good producer.
So if you're not constantly filling that pipeline, you're going to be in a world of hurt when turnover inevitably happens, right?
Yeah.
We know it's going to happen. It always happens. Amy's just not in the right ballpark on this one. What do you think, Craig?
I agree. I think she's just not a baseball fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. just not making it happen. And I think we've both been through that. And I guess the natural way to do it, if you're not thinking about it and being intentional and setting that process, is to just kind of put it off. And then when you have to do it, you do it. But it's extremely costly, and it's just like you end up doing twice the work, 10 times the work.
And you get so mad at yourself when you do this, right? Like every time the self-talk gets very negative in my head when I get in this situation, it's like, damn it, you know?
Yeah.
All right, let's get back.
So let's dive into number 2, recruiting. Okay. Recruiting costs money and time. Mm. All right. So let's move on to Amy's second point. She goes on and on and on all about the time and money needed to hire someone to replace a vacancy.
Right. But again, she is missing the mark, I believe. Mm. The solution isn't to begrudgingly invest in recruiting when you have an opening. It's always be hiring. ABH. Mm. And to outsource the bulk of the process,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I don't say ABH. I say UB, but same yeah. thing. I yeah. mean, tomato, tomato.
Right.
So you nailed it, right? She just keeps saying it. I'm curious if the next three after this are also going to be something along the same lines.
Right.
So her concert, she's talking about the hiring manager. She's talking about of all these different things that just seem to indicate that she's out of touch. Your typical small business owner is not going to have a hiring manager, right? But there's a lot of different ways to really increase the efficiency of it. We spent years to optimize our own hiring funnel so that it's always going, right? But again, without all the labor.
Mm, that's the beauty of a well-designed hiring system. It runs on autopilot, so you're not scrambling when turnover happens. Amy's just not thinking strategically there.
Yeah, you are just beating up Amy, aren't you, Mr. Jason?
No, she's nice.
What? You can. Why don't you introduce the next one?
All right. Here we go. Point number three, greener grass syndrome, and it's contagious.
Ooh. Okay. Look at this. Amy pops in with something that actually may have something here.
Okay.
So I'll give her a little credit. She's right that the greener grass syndrome is contagious. So if people, and what does this mean? It means if people see their colleagues leaving, right? If they're at your agency, they leave to go somewhere else and they are telling them, oh man, they're paying more and they're doing this and that, right? It does definitely plant a seed.
Right. Now, you can apply the greener grass syndrome to everything, right? We always yeah. want the other thing.
Yeah.
But here's where she misses the mark.
Oh, man. Mr. Jason.
I'm sorry, Amy. I'm sorry. But your
sorry,
agency
not sorry.
Should never be considered less of an opportunity than anywhere else, right? If it yeah. is, that's on you as the agency owner. That remember, this is an offer. Right. Like it's almost like a product. You look at it like something that you're selling, right?
Yeah.
To your team. If it's not attractive to your team, come on, what are you doing?
Absolutely. We've designed it in our agencies and tested it, right? To make sure that it worked. And it does. Is our hiring, we've designed the hiring funnels and built our sales structure in such a way that it actually attracts the people, right? So they see what we're doing in the agency and they're like, oh damn, this is really good here, right? There isn't yep. a greener pasture.
100%. It's not about trying to suppress people's desires for something better. It's about making sure your agency is the best opportunity around. Remember, this is an offer, right?
Right.
You want them to want to be there. You want right. to retain them. It's yeah. so expensive turnover. Amy's just not thinking big right. enough here.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild to think that you would not put them in the position where they want to be at your place, right?
Yeah.
So, it just has to be the greenest pasture.
I like point four, Craig. Give it to me.
You want me to give it to you? I'll give it to you.
Yeah, slap it over.
The burden falls on the team that remains. Okay. Mm. So point four, she's talking about how the burden falls on the remaining team when someone leaves. So that means more work for everybody left. Sure, that can happen.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
I knew it.
Amy. When you have the right systems in place, the burden doesn't have to change per producer. We use a telefunnel that maximizes each agent's potential by giving them the tools, the support, the leads, everything they need to be successful.
Right, exactly. So if someone leaves and you're not ready, that's again, that's on you. And both Jason and I learned that ourselves the hard way. So, and that's why we're sharing it. Mm-hmm. If you have a hiring resource, whether it's a recruiter on call or you have your own hiring funnel, you're ready to go at all times. So there has to be this constant flow.
Yeah, and the burden falls on you to maintain a steady pipeline of talent. Remember, you're the agency owner. It's not right. about scrambling to fill a void. It's about being proactive and strategic. This is where you really put on your agency owner hat.
Yeah. And a lot of folks, or even my, like, I used to get scared thinking of investing that money, and it's yep. very short-sighted to be doing that, because what happens is it's like, oh, I'm focused on this couple thousand here and holding on, white knuckling, when really in reality, by doing that, I'm costing myself a ton, because now I'm not getting the leverage of having more people. I'm stuck doing all this stuff. And I mean, I was, you were too. We're here dark to dark, right?
Yep.
Answering the phone, doing all that stuff. And that's not business ownership.
Nope. That is acting self-employed right there.
Yeah.
Point number five.
Hit me with it.
Reputation among job seekers.
Okay. So can we just take a moment to address the ridiculousness of Amy's final point?
I'm glad you're starting.
She's trying to argue that job seekers are out there obsessively tracking your job postings and making judgments about your company.
Right. Like they don't have anything better to do. Look, if you're consistently putting out quality opportunities and building a stronger employer brand, remember, it's a brand that you're putting out there, you'll attract top talent. Period. Yeah. The end, Amy. Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye. It's so funny. She's arguing for the opposite of what works using a point that makes no sense.
Right. Yeah. Amy's just grasping at straws on this one, I think. It's a non-issue if you're doing everything else right.
And it shows what happens when you use AI to write your stuff for you.
Yeah, it does.
So, all right, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. I hope it's clear that while Amy raises some points, her perspective is just a little bit too academic. And I think it's kind of out of touch with what we all are experiencing. Like, we're experiencing this.
Yeah, that's right. Building a successful agency requires a strategic, proactive approach to hiring and talent management, right? It's not about reacting to turnover. It's about creating a system that consistently attracts and retains top talent.
So if you're an agency owner, and you must be, because I can't imagine that you would be listening. If you're not, take your business to the next level. If you don't get caught up in the doom and gloom of articles like this, so there you find these things all over the place. Everybody's screaming about it's the end of times. Run away from that stuff. It's not doing any good.
Yeah, and if you want to learn more about how to do that, well, you'll just have to tune into the next episode of the Insurance Dudes. Right, we've got some game changing strategies. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't change the game, it's okay. Maybe it just adds to the game, or maybe it's a better game to share with you that you definitely don't want to miss. So you got to stay tuned.
That's right, Mr. Jason. And I know that one of your favorite terms is game changer. So I'm glad that you were that you said that. It's just amazing. You're so much growth. So hit that subscribe button. Join us next time, and we're going to continue exploring the ins and outs of building your thriving insurance agency.
Until then, this is Jason and Craig signing off and reminding you to always be hiring and always be a growth.
Bye-bye.